Boker Tov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now on Yevamot Daf Tzadi Chet Amud Bet, and we are going to look today at Mishnah Gimel and then at Mishnah Dalet and Hey of the 11th Perek of Masachet Yevamot, which all deal with one common theme, which is a circumstance that I refer to both in this Shiur and in the written handout as swapped children. Just as an introduction to the entire podcast, what we're dealing with here is a circumstance where women who are pregnant and are due all end up in two of them, or in one case five of them, end up in one place together. They have children that are born, and then somehow, because of the confusion, each of them ends up with a child, but we don't know whether that child belongs to that mother or one of the others. Whatever the circumstances are not our concern now. Chamesh Nashim. The Mishnah on Tzadichet Amun Bet. Chamesh Nashim Yitavu V'lado Tehen. So now, we have five women, and what's a piece that's clear here is that each one of these women also has a son who is known to be her son. And then these five women had five sons, and the five sons got mixed up together. Higdilu ha-ta'aruvot v'nasu nashim. So now the five swapped sons who belong to one of five mothers, they don't know who they are, and by the way, it's important to note that each son belongs to only one mother, meaning that these five are not brothers to each other. There's no way that any two of them are brothers to each other. So now, higdilu ha-ta'aruvot v'nasu nashim u'metu, if the swapped kids grew up, got married, and then died. Now, this is the circumstance where all five of them die. You play it out, of course, if only one or two die. Arba'a chotzin l'achat, so then four of the other fellows, any four of these fellows, come together and give chalitza, 1, 2, 3, 4 chalitzot, to one of the widows. So achad mi'abemota, the fifth one has the option of giving her yibum. Of course, he could give her chalitza, and then she's free to marry whoever she wants, because she absolutely has gotten chalitza from her husband's brother in this case. However, if the first four give her chalitza, then that means either she's gotten chalitza, and this new fellow who wants to marry her is some outsider, who happened to just be born in a cave at the same time as her husband's brother, or he really is the brother. So either way, it's fine. Hu shlosha chotzin la'achat ve'achad mi'abeim. And then this fellow and three of the others give chalitza to another one of the widows, and another one gives yibum. Nimsu arba chalitzot v'yibum l'chol achat ve'achad. Now notice the Mishnah doesn't construct it with options. It says that each brother is going to give chalitza to four times, and then b'mi'abeim the fifth. And we will see why the Mishnah insists on this, but what is clear is that in each case, the chalitzot have to come first. The yibum cannot come first, because let's say that the real brother of her husband was number four, and numbers 1, 2, and 3 gave her chalitza, which in reality is meaningless, and then number five came along, who is also an outsider, and does yibum, which means he marries her, then she's marrying somebody from the outside without being released. So clearly she has to get chalitza from the first four, and then the fifth does yibum. Now, v'davka michutz v'hada yivumi, so the Gemara immediately points out that you have to do chalitza first. V'yivumi b'reisha lo, why the kapaga b'yivam l'shuk? Because if you do yibum first, then it's the possibility, as I just mentioned, that we will be violating a yivama marrying outside of the family, what is commonly referred to as yivam l'shuk. Okay, good. Now, my hu shlosha chotzin la'achat, why did the Mishnah set it up the way it did? That he, the guy who did yibum on the first wife, then has to join three other brothers in giving chalitza. Dolotemali minu chad l'kulu, because we don't want you to think that one guy could do yibum on all five of them. Why? Elakochad v'chad miyabim chada, each one of them does yibum on one. Dilma mitram yalei didei, because it is possible this way that you will actually be miyabim the real woman, and mitzvah yibum will be fulfilled. So if one guy is miyabim all five, or let's say one guy is miyabim two of them, then certainly in one of those cases it won't be proper yibum, it'll just be marrying. And we'd prefer to fulfill mitzvah yibum if possible. So since if we have each guy performing yibum on one of the women, then that means that it is possible that mitzvah yibum will play out in any one between one and five of the cases. Good. Now, Miksatan Achim, Miksatan Shein Achim. This is a quote from the Tosefta that says something a little bit enigmatic. If some of them are brothers and some of them are not brothers, then it says, Hachin Chotzin V'Shein Achin Miyabmin. The ones who are brothers give chalitza, the ones who are not brothers, do yibum. What does this mean? Maika, amar amar fsaf achikamar, miktzatan achin min ha'av, if some of them are paternal brothers, meaning that the possibility is here that they are also paternal brothers, miktzatan achin min ha'em. In other words, what you had was the some of the women who ended up in this cave or wherever it was where they were giving birth were impregnated. They knew that they're impregnated by a man who was other than the husband that they had when they had the first guy, who now is the guy who died, who were trying to take care of his widow. And the other ones knew that it was from the same guy, which means that this fellow, if he really is the brother, is an ach min ha'av, which means there really is yibum. In the other case, even if he is the brother, it's still only an ach min ha'em. Then what do we do? Achim min ha'em choltsin, the ones who are maternal brothers are the ones who give chalitza. V'achim min ha'av miyabmin. In other words, if we know that one of these guys has the possibility of being the ach min ha'av, so then we push the ibum towards him. Good. Miktzatan kohanim, miktzatan she'inan kohanim. But of course, if we know that if one of them we know could not be an ach min ha'av, meaning a woman was married to a guy, and then the guy, and she had a son, and then the guy died, and then she married another guy, and now she ends up in this cave with these four other women and gives birth, and then that original son who was born before dies childless, and then the swamp kid, at best, is going to be a maternal brother, which means there's no way you should do yibum. So in that case, if all of the cases were like that, all five of these women were women who had husbands, and whose husbands gave them sons, and their husbands all died, and then they married other men, and they became pregnant, and they ended up in the cave together, then in all cases, they would just perform chalitza. The truth is, they would really not theoretically have to perform chalitz at all, because there are no achim min ha'av. Okay. Now, the second point was, miksatan kohanim, miksatan she'inan kohanim, if some of these are kohanim and some of them are not kohanim, meaning that the original brothers, which means that this guy, if he really is a brother to the one that he's doing yimman, then he is a kohen, then the kohanim cholsin v'sheinan kohanim miyabmin. The kohanim can only give chalitza, because if this guy is not really the brother, then when he does yibum on the girl, he's being marrying, actually. He's not doing yibum, he's really marrying a woman who's a chalutza, who's asura lekuhuna. Good. Miksatan kohanim v'satan achim min ha'em. So let's say you have a mix. Some of them are achim min ha'em, some of them are kohanim. Then, elu v'elu chotzin v'lo miyamin. It's not as if one is preferred. It's simply a rule that if you have kohanim here, they can't do yibum in any of these cases, because the yibum always has to follow chalitza, which is a safeguard. And achim min ha'em certainly are never going to do yibum. Good. Tanu Rabbanan. Yesh chalitz le'imo misafek, la'achoto misafek, le'vito misafek. This is another one of these riddles. It's possible that a man will give his own mother chalitza, or his own sister chalitza, or his own daughter chalitza, misafek. Let's play the cases out. Ketzad, imo v'isha acheret v'lahen shnei zecharim. So it's his mother and another woman, and they have two sons, and the sons are swapped. V'chazru v'yaldu shnei zecharim machaveh. In other words, they have two sons, we know who they are. And then these same two women end up having two sons in some sort of a cave. In other words, we don't know who's whom. Uva b'nashol zu v'nasa imo shel zeh, uv'nashol zu v'nasa imo shel zeh. And so what happened is, the son of one of them, meaning the son from the Vadai time, went and married the mother of the other woman. And vice versa. Umetu below banim. Now what happens is they died childless, which means these two women, who now have two sons, and it's unclear which one is their real son and which one of them is some outsider, now each one of them has to give chalitza to both these women, which means they're going to give chalitza to a woman who is his brother's wife, and another woman who's actually his mother. Alright? So each one has to give chalitza to both. And therefore, that means he's going to be giving chalitza to his mother, but of course he doesn't know which one is his mother. Achoto misafek hitzad. He could end up giving chalitza to his sister misafek. Again, a riddle. How does this play out? Imo v'isha acheret she'aldu shtei nekevot machaveh. So his mother and another woman have two daughters in some swapped situation. Uvao achen shalom yota ha'em unesa'um. And then they have brothers who are from a different mother. And they married And they married, meaning they married the women, the mothers. Umeitu v'lo vanim. And then they died without children. Cholait lishtehen. So now the brother has to give chalitza to both of these. Nimtza cholait v'achota alachoto misafek. One of the women that he's giving chalitza to is his own sister. But of course, he doesn't know which one that is, so he has to give chalitza to both. How does that play out? Again, his wife, now it's his wife and another woman, give birth to two girls in a secret situation, a swappable situation. Right? And then the brothers of these two girls came and married them, meaning the opposite. Umeitu below banim. And they died without children. So now, this guy has to give chalitza to, because his brother could marry his daughter. So therefore, his brother married one of these girls, and the other woman's husband's brother married one of these girls, and then those two brothers died. So then I have to come and give chalitza to two girls. One of them, indeed, is my daughter. The other one, of course, is somebody else. Okay, good. That's one enigmatic statement. Tanya Hayar Reb Meir Omer. Reb Meir said the following. Now let's play another riddle. A man and a woman could end up giving birth to five nationalities. It's kind of a little bit confusing to call it nationalities, but we'll see how it plays out. Kitzad, watch the case. Yisrael shalakach eved v'shifcha min hashuk. A regular Jew buys an eved and a shifcha. V'lahen shnei vanim. They have two kids. Now who are those kids? Those kids right now are goyim. V'yikayir achad man. One of them converted. So now, so this Eved v'Shifcha have now given birth to a pagan and to a convert. All right, those are considered two nations. Now the master puts these two Eved and Shifcha, puts them in the mikvah, l'shem avdut, they have relations with each other, Eikan ger, Ovid kochavim v'Eved. So now the child that they give birth to is an Eved. So they have one kid from before who converted, another one who never converted, and another one is born now as an Eved, so they got three. So now, if we accept the principle that an Eved who has relations with a Bat Yisrael, the kid is a mamzer, if he frees the Shifcha but not the Eved and they have relations again and they have a child, so then, Harekan Ger Eved Kochavim Eved Umamzer. Now the child's a mamzer, and now we've got four kids, each of which belongs to a different grouping. Shichrer Shnehem V'Sianzelism. The reason he's calling them Umot is because they can't marry with each other. Mamzer cannot marry Yisrael, cannot marry an Ovid Kochavim, etc. Now, not all of them are limited because a Ger and a Mamzer can marry each other. Good. Shichra Shnehem V'Sian Zelazeh. So now, let's say he goes and liberates also the husband. Right? Harekan, and then they have children. Now, they have two Jewish people having kids. The kids are Yisrael. Harekan Ger, Ovid Kochavim, Eved and Mamzer Yisrael. Good. So, my Kamashvan, what's Reb Meir teaching besides throwing a hook out and seeing if we can figure it out? The answer is, he's teaching us the principle that Rabbi Yochanan later ruled, accepted la halacha, which is that an Eved who has relations with a Jewish woman, the child is a mamzer. Tanu Rabbanan, we have one other odd riddle. Yesh mocher et aviv hagboti moktu bato. You can have a circumstance where a man sells his own father in order to raise money to pay off his mother's ktubah. How does that weird one work? A Jewish man buys an Eved and a Shifcha, and they have a son together. Now, this son, of course, is now an Ovid Kochavim. He liberates the Shifcha because he wants to marry the Shifcha, this fellow. And then he writes that all of her property goes to her son. Now, what's going to happen? The owner then dies. And all of his property, which includes his Eved, which is this fellow's father, comes to the fellow as property. The mother now doesn't has a ketubah coming to her, but there's no money. So he has to sell the property to get the money, and the property includes his own father. So you end up with a weird situation where a man sells his own father in order to raise the money for his mother's ketubah. Now, my Kamash Milan. What's this teaching us? Again, besides the hook that we have to figure out, what's the lesson? Two possibilities. One is kula Reb Meir, that the whole thing may or be our mayor. V'avda metaltalin, we accept the notion that some people think, that which is that an eved is considered chattel, not karka. Metaltal Mishtadlik Tuba, or Meir's unique position is that metaltalin, chattel, are also liable for inclusion in payment or collectible for ktuba. Or it may be teaching the opposite principle, that an evet is considered karka, which is the mainstream position, and therefore an evet is mishtabed for a ktuba. Good. Okay, now Mishnah Dalet and Hay come together here, and Mishnah Dalet is dealt with very little in the Gemara. Mishnah Hay has the main treatment, and that is about a swapping situation. Here you have a woman and her daughter-in-law are somewhere, and they have sons, and the sons get mixed up. This was a fellow of a number of years ago publicized a very interesting solution based on a Meiri to the story in Malachim Aleph Paragimel of Shlomo's solution to the two women, to the two zonot. I think it's very, very far from pshat, but it's a very interesting and intriguing solution based on this Mishnah. It's based also on a medrash that says that the two zonot who came were a mother and a woman and her daughter-in-law. In any case, a woman and her daughter-in-law got their children mixed up, swapped. When I say swapped, it's misleading, because swapped, we would know who they are, we just have to turn them back. If they're not swapped, the identity is confused. So now the swapped kids grew up, got married, and had kids without children. And got married and died without having children. So now the proper sons of the daughter-in-law have to give chalitza to both widows. Why? Shu safek esh achiv, safek esh achiyavi, because the one who because one of these guys is their brother, and the other guy is their uncle. Right? Their father's brother. And so now, if they were to do yibum, then they would be miyabem, and it's, if they were to let's say one of them did chalitza, but if really they're not the brother, the brother's wife, then the chalitza is meaningless, and then the second one who does yibum is actually having relations with his uncle's wife, which is usher. That you can't do. Now, bnei azkena, but what about the proper children of the old woman? Ocholtzin o miyamin. They have the choice. Why? Because if this person, if this woman is really their brother's wife, so that's fine. And if it's not, then who is it? It's their nephew's wife, which is mutter. Good. Now, let's flip it. Meitu aksherim. Now, aksherim, the Gemara is going to say, doesn't mean that the other ones are possible, but it means the vada'im, meaning if the ones that we know their identity died, then what do the other ones do? Hata'aruvot livnei hazkena, the mixed ones, what do they do to the son of the old woman, who has now got a widow? Cholzin v'lo miyamin. They can all do chalitza. Why? Because shusafek eshtachiv eshtachiyaviv. Because either this is my brother's wife, or else this is my uncle's wife, so I can't do that. Livnei akala, but what do the mixed guys do for the son of the daughter-in-law? Echad chalitza v'chad miyabem. First one gives chalitza, and then the other one does yibum, because we've got two swap guys here, right? So now, either this guy who gives chalitza is the real brother in which she's released, and then the other guy marrying her happens to be her uncle's wife. That's fine. Or else, the guy who gives her the chalitza is really not the brother-in-law, in which case the chalitza is unnecessary, and the other one is her real brother-in-law, and the yibum is fine. Good. Now, Kohenet, this is Mishnah Hay. She needs arev lada bevlad shifchata. Actually, for proper purposes, to take a look ahead onto Tzadi Taramud Bet for a second. At the beginning of the Gemara, there's only two lines that have to do with this Mishnah. First of all, Meituak Shirim, the Gemara says, Elahanach Mishum di Aruvla Havulu Psulin. Why are you calling the ones that we know about Ksherim as if the other ones, because they got mixed up, they're Psulin and not Psulin? They have Rapapa Eima Meitu Avadain. Rapapa says really it means not Ksherim, but Vadain, meaning the ones whose identity we know. Good. Livnei Kala Achar Choleitz, right? Dafka Michlatz Vahada Yivume. Now notice that in that last case we said that for the Bnei Akala, one gives chalitza the Yibum in that order. You can't do Yibum first, because then it might be Yivam al-Shuk, because if indeed this is the uncle, then he's having relations with his nephew's wife before she's been released from the Zika. Good. Now, Mishnah Hay, back in on Tzadi Tanamud Bet at the bottom, is a Kohenet. Put on the sheet, the Rambam writes in his Perush Mishnayot, three general rules you gotta know, and you'll understand this Mishnah. First of all, and that is the suffix Doraita L'chumra. Anytime we have a suffix about a Doraita, we're stringent. We all know that. Second of all is, Hamotze Mechaber L'Avaraya. Anytime you want to get money from somebody else, you have to prove that it really belongs to you. And if there's a suffix and the other guy's holding on to it, you can't prove it. The third, and of course our case is dealing all with Sfeikot. The third is that Ein Onshi Min HaSafik. In other words, we'd never give punishments for something unless vadai, you are somebody liable for that punishment. Good. So now, the Mishnah states as follows. Kohenet shintarei vlada bevlad shivchata. A kohenet, meaning an eshet kohen, has a maid, a shivcha, and their son, they have sons, and the sons get mixed up. Now, who is it? One of them is a kohen, and one of them is an eved, but he's an eved kohen. So now, ha're'elu ochlim b'truma. Both kids can eat truma. Chokin chelek achad b'gorin. We'll see what that means, that they get one portion at the granary. Ve'einan metam in the meitim. Neither one of them can go to a funeral, because it might be a kohen. Good. Suffolk. Ve'einan osim noshim ben k'sher ben psulot. Neither one of them can marry either proper women, because they might be an eved, or a shifcha, because they might be a kohen. Now, higdilo ataruvot v'shichru zedzeh. Let's say that the two kids grew up and liberated each other, meaning, if I'm the kohen, you're liberated, and if you're the kohen, you liberate me. Good. So they're liberated, and now they're proper free, but one of them is a kohen, and one of them is a Yisrael, or an Eved Meshuchrar. So now, nosim noshim, we'll see in a minute that it's not an option. They must liberate each other. Nosim noshim roya l'kohuna. They marry women who are not a grusha, not a zona, etc., because they might be a kohen. They don't go to funerals, it might be a kohen. But if they do go to a funeral, or do inadvertently come in contact with the body, they don't get makot for violating that lav, because we don't know that they're a kohen. They're not allowed to eat truma. But if they do eat, they don't have to pay any money to the kohen, because they might be kohen. Go prove I'm not a kohen, then I have to pay you. They're not given any truma. But any of their own produce that they separate as truma, they're allowed to sell. They don't have to give it. They're allowed to sell it. Go prove I'm not a kohen. It doesn't belong to me. But they might not eat. They may not eat truma. So what do? They sell it to kohanim, and they can keep the money. They do not get any portion of kodshim. They don't even lamb kodshim. And you don't come and give this guy a korban and say, please bring it on my behalf, and you'll get the rights. But if they come themselves with a korban, you don't say, oh, you have to give the pelt to some other coin, like the orota, olot, etc. And the matonot that are given from animals, the different parts of the animal that are given to Kohanim, they don't have to give. If he has a bechor, we treat it like a bechor coin, that he doesn't have to give it to anybody else. But it may not be a bechor coin, so we have to let it wander in the pasture until it develops a mum, and then it's sold, etc. We basically, which sounds like a summative statement, but it really has a separate piece to it, we put all of the stringencies of Kohanim and Yisrael on these guys. So now let's see. Skip two lines in the Gemara. To Kohanim Chinita Arev. Good. Chelek Echad Pshita. Obviously, these guys get a chelek. Why did the Mishnah say they get chelek Echad? This is still before they liberated each other. So, Eim Achelek Ke'echad. They get their chelek Ke'echad, meaning that they get their portion together. Meaning, we don't give either one of them a portion of truma if they're alone. Tanan k'mandamar. So our Mishnah supports the mandamar that says, ein cholkin truma la'eved. Elim ken raboimo. We'll see this is Rabbi Yehuda's position. You never give truma to an eved kohen unless his master's with him. Tanya, ein cholkin truma la'eved. Elim ken raboimo. That's Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yossi omer yachol shemayim. Kohen ani tenuli b'shvil atzmi. No, the guy can come and say, look, if I'm a kohen, give me for myself. If I'm eved kohen ani tenuli b'shvil rabbi. And if not, if I'm an eved kohen, so give it because I belong to a kohen. Good. And now let's explain why. Because in Rabbi Yehuda's town, which is Usha, if somebody ate truma, and we know he ate truma, we said, oh, this guy's a miyuchas the kohen. And ultimately that'll lead to the mizbeach, perhaps. But we will allow him to marry and be treated as a kohen. Good, and that means that his daughters were Eli Kuhuna also. In Rabbi Yossi's town in Sipori, that was not a good enough proof. So therefore, we didn't mind giving Truma to an Eved, because it's not going to prove anything, and therefore there's no suspicion. Good. Now, Tanu Rabbi Elazar Tzadok. Yamai lo yati ela edut tachara. I gave one testimony my entire life. We'll see why. Ve'alu ever the kun al pi. And we'll see that we have to correct this, but the simple reading here is that they actually made an evident to a coin because of my errant edut. What was helu sakat aitok? You think they really made an evident to a coin? Hashtav amtan shil tzadikim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevita kalal yadan from the very famous story that we have. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never allows a mistake to happen al yaday tzadikim. So certainly, how would it be? The famous story with Pinchas Ben Yair, etc. That certainly, how would it be that tzadikim atzman lo kol shekin? How could Rav Elazar of Tzadok be the vehicle through which a terrible thing like an eved becoming considered a kohen happen? Really, what happened is they wanted to make an eved into a coin based on my testimony. Luckily, we stopped it in time. Now, what was it? I was in Tzipori. I saw them giving truma to a guy. And I happened to be in Usha, and I testified that I saw this guy eating truma, and therefore, in Usha, they considered it to be a sign of Yuchsin, and they almost made him into a coin. Good. Tana Rabban. Asora ein cholkin lam truma v'etagunot. There's 10 people who do not get truma in the granary. Ve'eloin. Chere sheit v'katan, our usual triumvirate of halachic incompetence. Tum tum v'androginos, right, because their gender is not specified, we don't know who they are. Va'eved v'ha'isha v'ha'arel v'ha'tomei v'nosa isha sh'anuganalo. The last 5 are an eved, and we saw why. An isha, we'll see a dispute about why. An arel, somebody who's not circumcised. V'ha'tomei, somebody who's tomei, and somebody who married a woman who he should not have married, like a grusha. All of them, though, we do send truma to their houses. We don't give it to them at the goren, but we send it to their houses. Except for a tame and the last guy who married somebody you shouldn't have married. Now, I understand those three. We can't give it to them there because they don't have the da'at to take it properly. We can send it to them to eat. They're kohanim. Tumtum v'androginos, also nami, bria b'fnei atzmaninu. Like Rashi points out, it's kind of degrading for Kodshim to be giving it out to these guys. They deserve it, so they send it to their house. Eved, why? Nami dum atel asukim v'truma liyuchsin. Of course, this is based on Rabbi Yehuda. We don't give it to an eved because he may then use it as a claim to say I'm really a kohen. Or al v'tomei, why? Mishum d'mi'isi. They're rejected. They're people who are right now not fit to eat truma, so they're rejected. No se isha shehina hogeret lo. A guy who, they're rejected, but they're the ma'us. No se isha shehina hogeret lo. Why? Mishum kanasa. A person who marries an inappropriate wife is fined and he doesn't get truma. But why is a woman not given truma? So these fourth generation Amoraim and Bavahadis Machlok and Chadamar Mishum Grusha. And what's the case? The case is a woman will come and maybe she herself won't know that her husband, the Kohen, divorced her already and she can't eat truma, or the owner won't know that. Chadamar Mishum Yichud. The other approach is because the woman may end up alone in the granary with the guy who's giving it to her, and that, of course, is Yichud. Now, my Benayu split the difference. Let's say you have a granary that's right near town, so any news about divorce will cut there right away, but there's not a lot of people there, so we do have the problem of intimacy. Flip it, inami, demirichak, if it's far away from town, but there's a lot of people there. We send it to their house except for those two. Why do we send it to an RL? My time is shum da'anis, because he had no choice. Why is a guy an RL? He's an RL because he had brothers die of during circumcision, so he can't have circumcision. So tamei nami ha'anis. So tamei is also onus. He was sleeping in a house and a guy died there. He couldn't help that, as an example. So the answer is hai nafish unsei. The RL has a greater onus. Vailo nafish unsei. The tamei could have been more careful. The tamei, after all, will also be able to get out of it soon. Tanu Rabbanan, ha'eved v'ha'isha, in chokin lam truma v'etagronot. We don't give an eved or an isha truma v'etagronot. And then we have this strange phrase that says, v'makom shachokin, not only isha t'chilo, potino tamiyad, but where we do divide it, we give it to the woman right away and send her on her way. Micah Amar, what does that mean? You just said you don't give, now you said if you do give, you give the woman first. Ha'chikam, makom shachokin maser oni, wherever we give it maser oni, there you give the woman right away. Because it's degrading for the woman to stand around waiting. Although the people are there, it's degrading for her to come and ask for tzedakah. We give it to her right away. Amarava, so Rava then concluded from that an important lesson. originally, if I had a man and a woman coming before me, not in the same case, but to for a court, or to ask a question, Hasharina Tigra de Gavra Bereisha, I would first deal with the case involving the man. I'm in a Mechayv Mitzvot. I said to myself, he's Chayv Mitzvot. I have to hurry him up and get him back on his way. Kaven Hashemana Laha, once I heard this ruling that when it comes to Maaser Ani, we give the woman first, Sharina Tigra de Ita Bereisha, I would hear the case of the woman first. Ma'itam Mishum Ziluta, it's degrading for the woman to stand around and waiting. Good. Now, the Mishnah then said, if these mixed kids grew up, one is the Vlada Shifchad, one is the Vlada Kohenet, grew up and they liberated each other, if they liberate each other, Shichru, Ibar Yini, Lo Bar Yilo, if it's only if they want to, if they don't want to, they don't have to liberate each other. From my Lisa Shifcha in New York, Balchorin in New York, the famous Mishnah Chagiga, they can't marry anybody, the guy can't marry a Shifcha because he might be a Kohen, the guy can't marry a Balchorin, he might be an Eved. The answer is, Amarava, Ima Kofinoto. The answer is, we force them. Kofinotan, Mishachrin, Zedza. We force them to liberate each other. And then the rest of the Mishnah plays out. Good. And then we went through the whole Mishnah. And the very last thing was that we give them the Chumrot of Yisrael and of Kohanim. Lamai Hilchata, what's that talking about? You already covered all the other cases. Rapapa Leminchatam, because of a Mincha. Remember, a Minchat Yisrael has to have a Kometz brought on the Mizbeach. And a Minchat Kohen must all be burned on the Mizbeach. So Nigmetzit Kiminchat Israel, Vino Nachalat Kiminchat Kohanim. So Haketzer, what do you do? Hakometz Karev Beatzmo, this is the first solution. You bring the Kometz and burn it. Vashram Karev Beatzmo, and then you put the rest of it and you burn it on the Mizbeach, like a Minchat Kohen. Ah, Ikrikan Koshman Yishim Arehu Val Taktiru. But we have a ruling that once you give the Kometz, you can't burn any of the rest of the Minchat, Shirayim. So how do you do that? Pinobrader of Shuman Pazi, the Masik Lumishum Eitzim. You put it on the Mizbeach as fuel. Rabbi Lazar said, you can't put the rest of the mincha on the Mizbeach as a korban, but you can put it on as fuel, so you burn it up. So that works only according to Rabbi Lazar. But Rabbanu disagreed and said, you can never put it on the Mizbeach, and there is no such trick as putting up it as fuel. So the answer is, David la korban lazar Rabbi Shimon, because there's another solution. What do you do? You take the shirayim and you throw it on the Beit HaDeshen, which is where all of the ashes are left. That you spread out there. And this is talking about a case where a kohen is metame kodesh, when somebody brings a minchat chote of the poorest kind and brings a mincha, this is what you do. You're mepazer al HaDeshen. This is a minchat chote shel kohanim, because remember, it's a mincha, a kohen was chote, and he was very poor, so he brought this mincha. It's one of the sliding scale of menachot, of korbanot, like shvuot bitu or something like that, and the guy was a kohen, therefore, as a minchat kohen, has to be burned up. But because he was metameh, you can't put it on the mizbeach, so what do? You put it on Beit HaDeshen. And now the rabbanon who disagreed, only disagreed minchat chote shel kohanim, debat hakravahi, because it should be mukrav. But here, because this korban can't be brought, because the guy himself is a maybe Yisrael, maybe Kohen, therefore, for the Rabbanon Modu, here the Rabbanon would agree with Rabbi Lozer Bashimon that you bring the Kometz, because it might be Yisrael, and then you throw the rest on Beit HaDesh and not on the Mizbeach, and that way we follow the Chumot of both. So, in the next podcast, we'll pick up on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph at the Mishnah at the bottom, and finish Perek 11 of Masechet Yevamot. Everyone should have a wonderful day.